You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we're powered by the SID Media. So this week we're speaking about all things condensation. Condescending during our daily focus at 11 o'clock. So we're going to be, yesterday, Pastor could not join us, but then today he's, so we're going to touch on what we're supposed to touch on yesterday and what we're supposed to touch on today, where now my English just decides to run away. But then anyway, so condescension is a behavior or attitude characterized by patronizing, superiority. Or a sense of looking down upon others. It often involves treating someone as if they are less intelligent, capable, or important than oneself. We are going to be exploring this subject this weekend, also looking at other different things that are there and how to deal with this. And we are joined on the line by Pastor Henry Sinyangwe. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, thank you, and how are you?
I am good, my pastor. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure too.
Thank you. Before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
We are praying. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this blessed morning that you have given unto us. May you please be with us as we delve into this discussion. It's in my name of Jesus Christ that we pray, thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, as much as I have given a definition there, maybe you want to add there and also giving us an examples of what it is to be condescending.
Well, as you have rightly put it, it is a behavior of looking down on others. And that aspect is an aspect where you have got you look high, you try to place yourself on an elevated point,
mm-hmm.
where you look down upon others and as if they are less important, less intelligent, and less privileged.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. So, what are some of the examples there that we can get for that?
The major one which comes to mind, it is, I think I'll pick it from scripture, where Christ shares a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector.
Mm.
And as they meet in the temple, you know, the Bible explicitly says that they were standing far off each other. And then the tax collector goes to pray, and the Pharisee also prays. As he prays, he tells God that, thank you, I am not like the other man.
Mm.
The one who's unjust is an adulterer or even a tax collector. You see? So this man looks highly of himself and tries to compare himself to this other fellow mortal.
Mm.
Yes, and in doing so, this other person doesn't even have even the courage to lift his eyes. He looks down because he overhears what this other person is praying about.
Mm.
So now that now makes him to be downtrodden.
Okay.
So that is a vivid example which is there in the Bible.
When we looking at that particular example, Pastor, how then do we deal with condescension? To English this week, condescension. How then do we deal with that? Because I think these are things that we face, some people face on a daily basis, or some people have faced it, you know, in their lives. As much as we have gotten something from the Bible, but it's something that we still face, you know. How then does one deal with that?
Well, I think the Bible puts it clearly in the book of Philippians 2, verse 5. Mm. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ,
mm.
who being in the form of God and did not consider it robbery to be equal with God,
mm-hmm.
but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men.
Mm.
That is the best on how to deal with this issue. This issue, what Philippians 4 is telling us is that we need to have an installation of a software which is heavenly, which is Christ-like.
Mm.
So in having that one, in being born again, truly born again, not just by word of mouth and everything, but truly being born again, I think is the answer to this problem. Yeah.
So as we're there, Pastor, jumping now to this word, superiority. I managed to say it. Superiority complex. I've been struggling, Pastor. I just have to say that before we go there. I've been struggling the whole morning to say that word. So I've been practicing. Okay. So as we go to superiority complex, what is that? Let's first start off by defining it, because as much as we understand what condescending is, what is now superiority complex? Are they the same thing or they are cousins?
Well, we can say they can be cousins.
Yeah.
They can be the same thing. Yeah, because having a superiority complex is looking down upon others.
Okay.
Yes, as if they are less of humans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a basic one which we can say.
Mm-hmm. So how then does love and humility thrum the idea of superiority and elitism in the church? Because it's things that we see, it's things that we have witnessed or experienced. But then when now we become humble, my pastor, and we are full of love, how then does it trump the other one, which is bad?
Thank you very much for that one. I think that's a key one. The central New Testament, the central theme in the New Testament text is that of virtue and of virtue of humility, and Philippians 2 verse 1 to 11 and John chapter 3 verse 1 to 16, these ones are the theme or the underlining texts which also champion this aspect of humility and love. How? In the Philippian letter, Paul explicitly connects humility with love and the kind of oneness of mind in the Philippian congregation that is to be fostered by the members' love for one another. Jesus humbled himself out of love for humankind and took on human form, not insisting on his privileges as the eternal God, even dying the horrible death of a criminal. So the Philippians, which is the church, are to humble themselves before each other.
Okay.
Now, when we go to the book of, we go to John chapter 13, we find that the word humility does not occur there, but John says that having loved them to the end, and he recounts that Jesus humbled himself to the work of a servant and washed his disciples' feet as an example of how they should be towards one another. So that is the sign of humility. Now, coming to the other word, which is elitism, humility and love are intimately intertwined in the New Testament and consequently in the Christian tradition.
Okay.
And both virtues are distinctive of Christianity in contrast with the ethics of the ancient Greeks. Both Plato and Aristotle, you should note that they were strongly elitists. In their understanding of humanity and the dignity of human beings. This idea of elitism is that people are naturally more important, as they are more important than other people. And this is explicit in the assumption of their ethics and teaching. So the idea that indiscriminate love agape and love of neighbor, whether neighbor be Greek or Jew and everybody, that one, when you read Paul comes in and says, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no this. So we are supposed to have love for one another. We're supposed to have love for even the stronger and the weak, the people who are mentally disabled or brilliant and everything. So now, to the Greek who were under this this idea of elitism, it was an insult, it was an offense. Immediately they hear that. So now, love and humility comes in to combat this vice, which comes in where they say that they are human beings who are more important than the others. And when Christ came, When Christ came, he came to do away with that so-called social classes. Yeah, so yeah, that's what I can say on that.
Mm-hmm. And when we're speaking about love, Pastor, that is a character of God, right? It's one of his attributes, not character.
Yes,
it's one of his attributes,
yes.
Right? And as Christians, we are Christ-like. We're trying to be like Christ, and we have seen Christ in multiple instances showing this love in the Bible, right? But then the question comes now, Pastor, why do we have some Christians harboring some superiority complex in them? Why do we have that? Because we're supposed to be loving, hey? But they're doing that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good question. You know, the reason why we have such kind of vices amongst us, the issue of superiority complex amongst Christians, is because I think we don't really know the agenda of God, which he has put aside for himself so mm-hmm. that human beings can transmit that here on earth. We have forgotten we are the agents of good news. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine you are a salesperson, you are an agent, and then you're supposed to go and sell this product. Now, the people to whom you're supposed to sell this product, you look down upon them.
Okay.
Are they going to buy from you?
No.
So now we become bad ambassadors. We become a bad agent, a bad salesman in all these aspects. So now we are supposed to reflect the character of Christ. That's why Philippians tells us that we should have a mind which Christ had, a mind where we are not able to place ourselves above other people. We should see each and every person as a potential candidate of the heavenly kingdom. Yes, so now the major issue, it is conversion,
okay.
Proper repentancy and all that, being born again. So when we are born again, we become new creatures now. So when we become new creatures, this aspect of inferiority or of superiority complex will not be amongst us.
Mm.
Yeah, because we'll consider each and every person as an equal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This one, Pastor, it might be, I'm not tricking you, name Pastor. I'm not tricking you.
Yeah.
I have to declare first. So do we have some acts, or how are acts of discrimination, oppression, and cultural superiority justified through Christianity? Do we have that? And do we see some other things there in the Bible saying that this particular culture, for example, is superior than the other? Do we have that anywhere in Scripture?
I think the aspect of understanding the Bible, the aspect of discrimination, oppression, and cultural superiority comes in because we have a misconception about the gospel, about the commission which God gave us. So you understand that religion has in the recent past complicated and interconnected relationship with the legacy of racism.
Mm-hmm.
And other vices. Yeah. Religion is neither practiced nor studied in a vacuum. It cannot be done like that. So rather, it is always informed by social context and social conditions. So the continued oppression and marginalization of African Americans is preceded by centuries of religious speculation about human status of Black and indigenous people in the European colonialists and the theologians. So now, all this thing comes about because of misconceptions, as I said. And then you find that there are other religious groups which teach about the concept of a hierarchy in terms of human races. You see, where the humans are granted even divine authority to sell other people. This happened in the year 1452, where Spain and Portugal were given divine authority to capture Africans and subject them to lifetime servitude by the forced professed Christians by them.
Uh-huh.
So you find that there are some vices which we are able to tolerate. in the name of Christianity. And a lot of vices have been done, a lot of crimes have been done in the name of religion. You see?
Yeah.
So that is the thing. So if we are not careful, we can be like Paul, who got even permission from the temple to go and kill these people from the way, which is the Christians. in the name of wanting to protect the image of God, in the name of doing a service for God, we go overboard.
So can we say that there are certain scriptures that are taken out of context, or they are abused in order to, what's the English word? Pastor, English this week, ne? English this week.
Justify. In order to justify our actions.
Yes, in order to justify and also influence people to have a superiority complex. Hey, yeah, that word is going to be.
Yes, yes. There are some texts which are abused. Abused, and they are read out of context.
I knew it.
Yeah, they are read out of context, like the one which I gave you in 1452, where a religious leader gave Spain and Portugal to go and capture Africans because they said that the Bible allowed them to have slaves and servants.
Mm.
Yeah, such kind of things.
Yeah. So how then do we avoid that? How then do we avoid gaining superiority complex over our faith and our religion, Pastor? Because as you're saying that, yes, we do abuse scripture. Yes, people do take scripture out of context. How then do we avoid that? And if we see a certain brother or a sister or an elder or a pastor acting somehow, how then do we gently correct them?
So, number one, awareness in avoiding the same, it is getting to know and understand what it is. Because you cannot avoid something which you do not know.
Mm-hmm.
So there is number one diagnostic thing which we need to do is we get to know this aspect of superiority complex of our faith in religion. We get to know it. We even try to dissect it such that we understand even the dangers it poses to the effectiveness of the church in the community and the world at large.
Mm.
So we need to look also at what are the dangers?
Hey.
Whom are we representing at the end of the day?
Hey, Fondis.
Who are we? So we need to introspect. Our lives, our spiritual lives properly. We introspect and know who we are.
Mm.
So somebody said, if you don't like it to be done to you, don't do it to your brother.
Mm.
You see? So, and Christ also talked about being a good neighbor.
Mm.
And a good neighbor is not somebody who's just near you. A good neighbor is any person whom you meet in the streets.
Mm.
Yes, being a good neighbor. So you need to be a good neighbor to each and every person who's there.
Mm.
There are some times when we try to institutionalize God, where we just put him in an institution, where inside the church, we cannot practice that.
Mm.
But when you come out of the church, you find that it is us now, the Christians, who are champions of that. A very good example I can give. Mm. During the time Mahatma Gandhi was around in South Africa, he discovered that there were people in the church during the apartheid regime. There were people in the church who would preach very good sermons about against killing and all these other things and practicing apartheid. Now, when they came out of the church institution, they were out in the public, in the streets. They are the ones who were carrying the guns. They are the ones who were even the champions of apartheid.
Mm.
So now, the aspect of putting on two faces whilst you're a Christian, that thing should not be there. That is my conclusion. The issue which is there, I think you can sum it up. This question can be summed up with Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 9, which talks about having a mind like Christ. That is one way in which we can avoid this vice.
Mm.
Yes, having a mind like Christ, and even going a next step where we don't feel ourselves to be more important and everything. Let me just read this text It says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, therefore, God also has highly exalted himself and given him the name which is above every name.
Yeah.
So now, we as human beings, we are supposed to even exhort, not exhort ourselves, but exhort our brothers.
Hmm.
That is one way in which we can avoid this. We look at ourselves as just normal human beings, but our brothers, we exhort them.
Pastor, it's going to be a very interesting week. I will not lie, and the English will come through. But today we're going to have to end it there as we prepare to go for a week of prayer. But Pastor, before I let you go, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us as Christians so that we may not be condescending towards other people? And as you were saying, that who are we representing? So that it may stick in our head, you know, it may be imprinted in our blood that we are representing a God that is loving. So we should not, and we should not even try, you know, to have a superiority complex over other people.
Father, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you even for the time we discussed issues pertaining to our stay here on earth. In a special way, may you please allow our minds, Heavenly Father, to be reinstalled with the software of heaven, where the aspect of Genesis, the book of creation, comes in our mind, where you made each and every person equal, but you did not even place any person above another, Heavenly Father.
Mm.
Help us, Heavenly Father, to have a comparison not with our fellow human beings, but with Jesus Christ, who is the standard given by heaven, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have heard our prayer this morning, Heavenly Father. Help us, Heavenly Father, to not have the superiority complex, Heavenly Father, which is seemingly affecting the church at a larger extent, Heavenly Father.
Mm.
Help us, Heavenly Father, to be humble and to have love for one another. It's in my name of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, that we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. My pastor, thank you so much. I'm going to love this whole week. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you very much. Have an easy day and stay blessed.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.